Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you, from the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Then looking in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. They are the kind who work their way into people's homes and win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teachings, but they are never able to understand the truth. These teachers oppose the truth just as Johnnies and Jambres opposed Moses. They have depraved minds and a counterfeit faith. But they won't get away with this for long. Someday everyone will recognize what fools they are, just as with Johnnies and Jambres. But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, but the Lord rescued me from all of it. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work." All of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Thank you, Lord, for being our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that even in the midst of all that's going on in these last days, you are sovereign and still on your throne, and you call us as the church to be a victorious church that moves in the power of your word and your spirit. More and more teach our hands to war. Empower us to be the warriors in your kingdom that you've called us to be, and help us to learn how to step out on the battlefield victoriously every day of our lives. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the scriptures. And thank you so much for giving us a perfect guidebook in how to walk in your name and how to walk as you call us to. Father, I ask for your Holy Spirit to come and teach us more about your ways, to reveal to us the truths of your character. Father, without you revealing yourself to us, we can never know you. So, Father, we make ourselves available to be known by you and to know you. Father, I ask that you'd call us more in repentance and to walk in your likeness. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're blessed and honored to have once again as our phone guest, Pastor Timothy Board and his sons with us, Timothy, Luke, and Elijah. Pastor Board and his wife are the founders and the directors of Grace Family Ministries. Pastor Tim, how are you today?
I'm glad to be here, brother. Doing great.
All right. Great to have you on. And, of course, we're grateful to have once again Timothy, Luke, and Elijah. And would mention, Pastor Tim, we've had the privilege of having Timothy, Luke, and Elijah to be a part of a number of our Ten Commandments speech projects in the past. And so we're grateful to have each of you with us once again today. Pastor Tim, could you tell our listeners a little bit about Grace Family Ministries?
Yeah, Lori and I had the tremendous honor of serving for 5 years. You know, I served as the point man here in the United States, U.S. Development Director for an evangelical Christian missionary organization. And so the Lord opened the doors for us to, for the most part, travel together as a family due to what I described as the 579 reasons we homeschool. And minister at churches, camps, and conferences in 24 different states across the country. And that means, you know, we traveled through other states, 10, 11 other states, en route. And I was in six foreign countries as well. And so the point being is that the Lord opened our eyes to the state of the church and family, both here and abroad. And one of the many challenges that we faced is that if Christians are not bold with their faith in Christ and the resolute biblical conviction of the Christian worldview and the gospel of grace is not just a grassroots reality in hearth and home and as far as biblical marriage and family life, and that's going to directly affect the state of the church. And so part of the issue is that as we are challenging believers to be bold with their faith in Christ, wherever the Lord leads, guides, and directs, and in recruiting missionaries, it was a real challenge because it was just like sometimes slim pickings, as it were. But one of the blessings of what the Lord has opened the door for us to do now is to, you know, have more freedom and flexibility to focus on the grassroots importance of biblical marriage and family life and the Christian worldview and what that does so far as a catalyst toward reformation, revival, and revitalization of the church and family. And hence, our mission is advancing the cause of Christ to the ends of the earth, beginning right at home. And so we have YouTube channel, website, gracefamilyministries.org. And so we're very thankful as far as harnessing all available means and technology, as far as getting the word out. And really, just we're grateful just for the camaraderie and the partnership, you know, with AFA and how the Lord is using you as a salt and light moral back pressure of the biblical worldview in the public arena. So we're grateful to be here, brother.
Okay. Well, we're grateful to have you and your sons on with us as well. And I want to ask, would you take a moment, Pastor Tim, to pray for listeners to really have ears to hear all that the Holy Spirit would say to them through the broadcast today?
Yes, indeed. So, Lord God, Heavenly Father, how we praise you as you are from everlasting to everlasting, the true and living God, the God who is, the God who has spoken. And, Lord, how grateful we are for your awesome glory, the sovereign majesty of your holiness displayed in creation and redemption and by your providential mighty hand throughout history, Lord, in each of our own lives. And how we do pray that you would use this broadcast and AFA and Grace Family Ministries as indeed as a catalyst toward a biblical reformation, spiritual revival, and revitalization of church and family. And so, Lord, we pray that you would indeed be magnified to the utmost in the matchless name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Now, Pastor Tim, you mentioned that you and your wife, you all have homeschooled your children, correct?
Yeah, I joke that that we have 579 reasons that we do so.
Mm-hmm. Well, specifically, would you take just briefly tell our listeners, of course, a little bit more about why you feel like homeschooling is a critical tool in our culture today?
Yeah, I mean, I had a very similar question from a friend from the Twin Cities area just recently, and he asked me a question. It was just one of those wowzer questions because he asked me. He said, "How did you raise sons like that?" And honestly, I said, by the grace of God, and I pointed him to a text of Scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4-9, where it speaks of as far as you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and as far as these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And then the Scripture unfolds as far as basically what we would describe as life. So one of the major issues that we're seeing as far as in the church and family is as far as what kind, do young people spend most of their time? And so one of the blessings of home-based parent-led family discipleship, aka homeschooling, is it affords dads and moms tremendous opportunity to spend substantial time with their kids because quality time requires quantity time. And so far as intentionally passing on the faith to the next generation. And, of course, this passion, this heart is built, woven into the fabric, the warp and woof of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation.
Mm. Well, I appreciate you sharing your thoughts there. And, one thing I would want to mention that, in my recent years, I'm going to say really over the last decade as a pastor, one of the things I've picked up on in serving different congregations is that it seems that I see many a child that are very intelligent children who I've come across this that read poorly. Now, again, I wouldn't say that's all the public school's fault, but I do know this, that one of the realities is that sadly, more and more you see public schools getting priorities that don't have much to do with education. And the fact is, of course, as you as a parent, as a Christian father, and you and your wife as Christian parents, you get to diligently put the Word of God in your children, whereas in public schools, typically, sadly, that's just not the case, typically, that they're taught and trained in God's Word. So I would just encourage, as you just touched on, there's a great need for parents, whether your children, if they happen to be in public school, be much more diligent and deliberate about your discipleship, because the fact is, they need to be diligently taught the Word of God. They need to become diligent students of Scripture. And we need to teach our children as well as we ourselves are, just as you alluded to, Pastor Tim, be bold in the way we follow Christ. That's just a critical part of discipleship too then. But thank you for sharing your thoughts there further too. Again, Father, we thank you for Pastor Tim and his sons, and thank you for that which they'll be sharing on the broadcast. Lord, more and more stir us as the church to become much more diligent and deliberate about discipling our children, no matter where they might go to school, but help us to be faithful to do that, to do our part as Christian fathers and mothers. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We'll be right back.
Into the deepness, oh, when I've exhausted all my ways. this heart of mine, it's you. It's you, Lord, it's you. Then everything else just falls in line. Forever.
Music of Toby Mac with It's You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guests today are Pastor Timothy Board. He and his wife are the founders and directors of Grace Family Ministries, and we're privileged to have not only Pastor Tim, but also his sons, Timothy, Luke, and Elijah with us today. And in this segment, we're going to start off with Luke, who is going to share his Ten Commandments speech with us. He participated in the Ten Commandments Challenge this year. And so, Luke, how are you today?
Doing pretty good.
That's good. That's good. And again, we do appreciate you having participated. Of course, we're grateful you and your brothers participated in a number of those in the past, and you managed to be a part of the one this year. So this year, of course, the topic was, why are the Ten Commandments important? So I'm going to ask if you'll dive right in and share your speech on why the Ten Commandments are important.
All righty. So why are the Ten Commandments important? The Ten Commandments are the moral law of the Creator God of the universe, which were delivered to his humble servant Moses on Mount Sinai, as related in the book of Exodus. These commandments reveal God's will about how we should act, and they are reiterated in some form or another multiple other places in Scripture by the likes of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 13 and by the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the Gospel records. Today I will examine three crucial truths about these magnificent commandments. Let's dive in. First of all, we must understand that God's Ten Commandments are consistent with his very character and nature. The Ten Commandments are the moral law of God, which means that they flow out of the essence of who he is. For example, God says, "You shall not lie." And what is the opposite of a lie? The truth. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Truth is not merely what God does, but who he is. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the concept of truth is God. I am saying that truth is essential to who he is. And because God is the creator of all things, he gets to make the rules, not us. And he has revealed how he wants life to work in his holy word, the Bible. In Matthew chapter 22, in verses 34 through 40, the Pharisees, who were some of the Jewish religious leaders in the time of Christ, questioned the Lord Jesus, asking him what the greatest commandment in the law was. And Jesus, knowing that they were asking this question not out of a genuinely sincere desire to follow God's law, but out of a heart of legalistic preoccupation with the letter, not the spirit of the law, Jesus answered them in the way they didn't expect, saying, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." So you see here that because God is the holy creator, he desires that we fulfill our purpose for which we were created, and that is to glorify God and to serve him with all our hearts. Christ's answer to the Pharisees' question is the summation of these Ten Commandments, which flow out of the heart of God. Secondly, we must understand that God's Ten Commandments show us how to live. When the Lord God revealed his Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, you must notice that he didn't begin saying, "Here are some suggestions for you to look over and decide whether or not you want to follow them." No, on the contrary, the same God who formed the whole earth in 6 days by the word of his mouth and spoke galaxies into existence from nothing gave these commands for us to follow. No one can ever hope to perfectly follow this list of imperatives, although many have tried to do so in their own power and have failed miserably. But the Apostle Paul says that the purpose of the law is to show us our sin and demonstrate that we cannot be justified by our own efforts. justification or the act of being declared righteous can only come by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, by believing that he died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. And now that we are saved, we, as Titus 2:11 through 15 says, are taught by God's grace to reject ungodliness and to be zealous for good works. Now, in light of this, when most people hear the words shall not, they immediately think of rules with a negative connotation. But when you really dive into God's word, you discover, as Henry Morris in Days of Praise says, quote, that many of God's most precious promises use the phrase shall not in a diametrically opposite way, not listing prohibitions, but provisions. For example, in John 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. God knows what is best for us, and so it is our responsibility to trust him and obey his commands. And thirdly, we must understand that God's Ten Commandments should motivate us to action. These injunctions are in the active tense, which implies unquestioning obedience. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, Paul says, the things which you learned and saw in me, these do. And Proverbs 3, verse 1 says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. So will we continue thinking that we are wiser than the Most High, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, as Colossians 2:10 says? Or will we bend our knees and bow our hearts and worship and obey the sovereign lawgiver of the universe? The Christian life, dear ones, is not a passive activity. It is a constant battle. And thanks be to God, he has supplied us with the tools necessary for the task. So may we, in firm reliance on him, put on the armor of light, draw the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and saying no to our flesh and yes to Jesus, advance into the fray and push back the darkness with the light of Christ. In closing, always remember and never forget that these glorious commandments are important because they flow from the incorruptible character of Almighty God and are injunctions regarding how we should conduct ourselves in this life. Furthermore, we have a responsibility before God to obey his commands as he molds us more and more into the image of his Son, Christ Jesus, and it all resounds to the praise of his glory. And now I echo the courageous words of Joshua, where he says, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory.
Amen. Amen, Luke. Powerful, powerful speech. Thank you so much for sharing that. Now, Luke, tell me again, how old are you?
I'm 16 years old.
You're 16. You're a mighty preacher to be 16 years old. I tell you what, I appreciate you sharing that. And now, Luke, you know, the state of Louisiana, by the grace of God, very wisely and very courageously established a law where the Ten Commandments are to be placed in view of students in classrooms in the state of Louisiana. Now, I would say without question, that's great leadership on the part of the leadership in the state of Louisiana. What are your thoughts about why that was such a good thing for them to do for the students in their state?
Well, I've observed that in our culture where it's considered bigoted to think that there are moral absolutes, it's crucial for us to have a set of rules and guidelines, a moral absolute to live by. Because if we don't have those, then we'll be free to do whatever we want to do, and that's actually bondage, and that does not cause human flourishing. And God has designed the Ten Commandments and his law, which is revealed throughout Scripture, and his will to be the rules by which we conduct ourselves in this life.
That's right. That's right. And you know, in your speech, you touched on a number of very important truths for us as believers and as people, period, just to be mindful of. The fact is, the Ten Commandments are the moral law of God. They don't change. They're relevant for every culture, every people, for all time, and they're just as relevant today as they ever were as well. So Again, powerful speech. I really appreciate you sharing your thoughts. Would you say a word of prayer, whatever's on your heart to pray for in relation to our nation?
So you are the sovereign lawgiver of the universe, and we thank you and praise you for who you are and all that you've done, that you do a mighty work in our nation and in the hearts and lives of all of our governing officials, and also in the hearts and lives of pastors and homes and families, which are the building blocks of our nation. We pray that you would turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the children to their fathers, and that they would look to you and see the importance of serving you. And we pray that families would realize the importance of family discipleship and passing the faith on to the next generation for your glory, because that's what you have shared in your word. And Lord, we pray that your truth would be made known and that it would be valued and that Christians would be bold with their faith and share it with those around them and with their children and would make a difference in their culture for your glory in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Luke. Thank you so, so much. Timothy, we're grateful to have you on the broadcast as well. If you come to the mic there as well, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, blessed and highly favored in Christ.
That's good. That's good. And again, you, and as well as we mentioned, your other brothers have participated in Ten Commandments speech, the speech project in the past. And we really appreciate, again, you all, your diligence in that, because each of you have done great jobs each time you've done speeches for us then. So, do you have, Timothy, do you have a passage of scripture that you'd like to share with you, with our listeners today?
Yes. I was thinking that I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 6.
Okay.
Verses 1 through 8.
All right. Go right ahead.
And in this passage of scripture, it shows about, tells about a vision that the prophet Isaiah had, and I'll read it here. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged.' Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then he said, and I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Isaiah 6, 1 through 8.
Thank you for sharing that scripture. Would you say that in some ways that passage reminds you of just some of the challenges that we're dealing with in our culture today?
Well, this passage of scripture comes to mind, yes, and it is very much related, because in contemplating about the necessity to advance the truth of Christ, God's people to advance, first of all, there must be wholehearted surrender to God and his call. And that surrender must first come from a heart of humility and acknowledging who God is and what he has done. And right here in Isaiah, before the Lord sent out his servant, he gave him a glimpse, a fresh glimpse, fresh vision of the vertical reality of sovereign majesty. So Isaiah got just what he needed, a glimpse of God's glory, before he was sent out as God's servant to proclaim truth in his generation.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Timothy, I appreciate you sharing that. And it is so important for us as believers to recognize the need for us to take the responsibility to heed the call of God on our lives to go and be his ambassadors.
Amen.
Representing his kingdom. We're coming up on a break, and on the other side of the break, I'm going to ask if you'll be prepared to pray for our nation, to pray for our government, and anything else that's on your heart as well. But we'll invite you to pray on the other side of the break. Father, thank you again for Pastor Tim and his sons. And thank you, Lord, for the witness they are. Thank you for Timothy and just the wisdom he's sharing and what he just shared there as well. Lord, stir us all more and more to recognize that we each have a critical calling. Help us to be committed to walking that calling out faithfully. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back. Planet Shakers with Anthem. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're blessed to have as our phone guest today Pastor Timothy Board, and his sons Timothy Jr., Luke, and Elijah. And we're in the midst of talking with Timothy. Timothy, remind me again how old you are.
I am 18 years old.
18. All right. Well, we appreciate, again, you sharing your heart and your thoughts. Would you take time now to pray for our nation, for our government, and anything that's on your heart as well to pray for at this time?
Yes. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we're grateful for all that you are, for what you have done. We acknowledge that you are holy. You are the sovereign potentate of time. You preside over the destinies of nations, and we pray that you would be magnified in each of our lives. Thank you for the power of the cross, and thank you for Christ Jesus bore the wrath that we deserved. for our rebellion. Thank you that he rose again the third day. He has conquered sin and death. And we pray that you would raise up a generation of godly men and women to take seriously what they believe and to advance the truth of Christ to the ends of the earth faithfully where you have placed them. And we pray for our nation. And we pray that you would be with pastors and fathers and mothers and spiritual leaders, and you give them a fresh glimpse of the vertical reality of sovereign majesty. May the hearts of Christians far and wide take the truth of your, take your word as it is, and trust you in every area of life. Thank you for all that you are doing in our nation. We pray for our nation's leaders, those in elected office, and I pray that revival would come to our nation through the surrender of your people. I pray that those in political office would know that they are appointed by you for your purposes, and may they be in humility. Give them wisdom, and you're worthy of all praise. In Jesus' mighty name, above all names, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Timothy. Appreciate you sharing. Next, we have Elijah. Elijah, how are you today?
I'm doing well.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. Good to have you. Now, remind me, Elijah, how old you are?
I'm 14 years old.
You're 14. All right. And you had a passage of scripture you wanted to share with us as well, correct?
Yes.
Okay,
I was going to share Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2.
Okay.
Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations before the mountains were brought forth, wherever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
All right. All right. Thank you. Thank you. You were going to share some insights from that that you feel like would be helpful to share with believers, right?
Yes, I was just going to say how awesome it is that we have a Father, a perfect Father in heaven, and He loves us, and He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross to pay for our sins, and it's just awesome that He created everything, mm-hmm. and the whole world and the universe, and He knows our name. I also have one more verse from 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7, says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." Just wanted to say, He loves us, and He cares for us. We always have a perfect Father in heaven.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Elijah. Elijah, would you pray for young people in our children and youth in our culture, whatever's on your heart to pray for them about?
Yes, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you're holy, and you're mighty, and you're righteous and sovereign, and you are in control of everything. And may we live Coram Deo, and we pray for children today. And we pray for schools, and may your mighty hand be upon children, and we love you, and you are in control, and you have a plan, and pray for our nation's leaders also, and may righteousness abound in the gates of our land, and we love you, and you are almighty, and in Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Elijah, for your being with us as well. Pastor Tim, we have just a few minutes left. I want to ask you specifically, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to pray specifically for men, for husbands, for fathers, and for the family and the church too. But any wisdom or encouragement you'd like to share with Christian men in our culture that areas where you feel like they're needing to really step up? Anything you'd like to share along that line?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the most significant needs that we see as far as the state of the modern church and, you know, as far as the Christian home and family, so far as biblical marriage and family life is concerned, is that what is desperately needed in this generation, this era of our nation's history, and, you know, let alone the history of the world, is men with hearts that have been ignited with a passion, a fire, and a zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. They're going to cry out like with the saints of old, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, as far as draw the line in the sand, as it were, and basically say, over my dead body will I allow my children go the way of the world, and therefore being deliberate at cultivating godly character and a comprehensive biblical worldview in the hearts and minds of our children, our grandchildren, as far as in the spirit of Romans 12, 1 and 2. And that's what I describe as one of the 579 reasons why Lori and I are invested in home-based parent-led family discipleship, as far as homeschooling, which affords us, you know, the freedom and flexibility to invest a substantial amount of time in cultivating, discipling our kids on the grassroots level. We're in, therefore, wherever the Lord leads and guides and directs the pathway of their life, lives by His mighty hand, outstretched arm. It's to the praise of His glory and by His grace.
Amen. Amen. Would you specifically pray then for men, for the family, and for the church in doing the work of discipleship diligently?
Yes. So, Lord God, Heavenly Father, how we do pray, having been branded in Your image as male and as female, Lord, and commissioned to be the salt and light moral back pressure of Your truth, having been redeemed and saved by Your grace, redeemed through the precious royal blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, how we do pray that You would do a mighty work in our generation, O God. And so, Lord, we do pray that You would protect the church and the family from the fiery darts of the wicked one, Lord. And we pray that You would give pastors and ministry leaders, men, husbands, and fathers, the wisdom, vision, and courage, wisdom to understand the times in which we live, vision to see beyond what is to what ought to be, encouraged to initiate decisive action, advancing the cause of Christ at the ends of the earth, beginning right at home. And so, Lord, come what may Your people be filled with resolute conviction, and may the testimony of our lives echo throughout eternity to the praise of Your glory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Tim, if someone wants to get in touch with you and or with Grace Family Ministries or learn more about the ministry and or if they want to catch the podcast, tell them how they can do that.
Yeah, check us out on our website, www.gracefamilyministries.org. We also have a YouTube channel, Grace Family Ministries, and we certainly cover your prayers in partnership, as together our mission is advancing the cause of Christ to the ends of the earth, beginning right at home. And so, yeah, we hail from the Indianapolis area where our home is, and so we're very grateful just for the AFA and just in your friendship, brother, and just an honor to be here. And once again,
well, again, thank you so much for being with us, and for you and Timothy and Luke sharing from your heart and ministering to our listening audience. Father, thank you again for Pastor Tim. Thank you for Timothy, Luke, and Elijah. Thank you for Pastor Tim's wife and just the rest of the family. And thank you for Your hand of grace upon them and Your spirit at work in them. Father, bless them and their ministry. Indeed, expand their territories. Cause Your hand to be mightily upon them. Keep them from evil, that they may not cause pain. In Jesus' name. And Father, anoint every one of us, all those that are part of our listening family and all the rest, Lord, afresh with the spirit of discipleship. Empower us to live in such a way that daily we'll be faithful disciples and we'll diligently be about the work of faithfully making disciples as well. We thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you know you've never made the eternally important decision of asking Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a great day, a good day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step in your life and give your heart and your life to Christ, would you simply from your heart pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to live for you all my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you committed your life to Christ and prayed with us, we invite you, please do get in touch with us one more time. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We do want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will be tools that can help you grow up and grow strong and vibrant in your new walk and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch with us once again. That number, again, that email, joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you. Pastor Tim, thank you again for being with us, you and Timothy, Luke, and Elijah. One more time, if someone wants to get in touch with Grace Family Ministries or learn more about the ministry, tell them how they can do that.
Yeah, www.gracefamilyministries.org, as well as our YouTube channel. Appreciate it.
All right. Keep up the great work. Thanks so much, Pastor Tim. Please pray. Hallelujah. Please pray much for Pastor Tim and Grace Family Ministries as they do the work of building God's kingdom. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.